From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. North Carolina Department of Transportation Secretary Daniel Johnson told Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles that if local leaders withdraw their support for Interstate 77 toll lanes, the state must remove them from a long-term list of transportation projects. Steve Harrison has this report.
The city council took a surprise 6-5 vote last Monday to withdraw support for using a private contractor to build toll lanes on I-77. The DOT head wrote Lyles on Friday to warn about the ramifications of their actions. He said federal law would require the DOT to remove I-77 from the statewide transportation improvement plan. The $600 million earmarked for the project would go elsewhere. Local transportation leaders, however, could start over with a different version of the I-77 project, though Johnson warned the state would have to restart the years-long planning and environmental review process. Meanwhile, Charlotte City Councilmember Ed Driggs, a toll lane supporter, told WCNC that, quote, conversations are ongoing to get one city council member to change their mind and reverse last week's vote. The Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization could take a formal vote in June or July to pull support for the project following Charlotte's lead. A majority of the board has said they would vote to end the I-77 public-private partnership. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
In the face of community pushback that could doom the project, the North Carolina Department of Transportation on Monday unveiled an ambitious redesign of the I-77 Express Lanes project. It includes new parks, green space, public art, and expanded bike and pedestrian connections. Notably, the proposal includes a new park built over I-77, just north of Fraser Park, with basketball courts, a band shell, and a community lawn, along with a pedestrian tunnel linking Revolution and Abbott Parks beneath the interstate. NCDOT says the concepts came directly from community feedback, but warns they would only move forward if the larger I-77 toll lane project survives politically. Last week, Charlotte City Council narrowly voted to rescind support from the project, though other local governments would also have to withdraw support to stop the project entirely. Charlotte City Council is pushing to give firefighters a 10% raise, in line with proposed pay increases for police officers. At a preliminary budget hearing Monday, a majority of members said they support giving firefighters more than the 7% they're currently slated for. Here's Councilmember Luana Slack Mayfield.
I'm biased and I own it. Fire shows up first. That's who shows up immediately. Law enforcement does an amazing job, and law enforcement shows up afterwards.
That would add about $4.4 million to the city's $1 billion budget. Council members also said they want to explore ways to reduce a 7% proposed property tax hike from city manager Marcus Jones, as well as give an across-the-board 4% raise to all other city employees. City Council will keep working on the budget over the next few weeks and vote to approve it next month. The proposed property tax increase would add about $68 a year to the median homeowner's city tax bill. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education has called a special meeting for 7 p.m. to discuss unspecified personnel matters. It comes after 2 weeks of tense budget talks that exposed tensions between Superintendent Crystal Hill and the CMS board. James Farrell has more.
Since the budget was passed last week, Board Chair Stephanie Sneed has suggested the board still has confidence in Hill, who has stated she has, quote, no intentions to resign. But it's the second special called meeting on undisclosed personnel matters in a little more than a week. And it's the fourth such meeting since the board rejected Hill's initial budget request in an unexpected 8-1 vote last month. That vote kicked off 2 weeks' worth of additional meetings that at times turned contentious and put Hill's relationship with the board under the spotlight. Tuesday's special meeting will be closed to the public. James Farrell, WFAE News.
North Carolina Governor Josh Stein made a visit to a Mecklenburg County Substance Abuse Rehabilitation Center Monday. Kenneth Lee has more on his efforts to fight the opioid epidemic.
Stein and Charlotte officials toured Hope Haven, a facility focused on opioid rehabilitation. Mecklenburg County received $72 million from national opioid settlements over nearly two decades, and the center off North Tryon Street was an initial recipient. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services says overdose-related deaths decreased by more than a third from 2023 to 2024. That's the first decline since 2019. During a press conference, Stein said while there's been progress, he wants to fund a dedicated team to the ongoing crisis.
The Fentanyl Control Unit would be dedicated to get more drug agents, more prosecutors, to the work of getting fentanyl off our streets. It'll protect people from fentanyl, spare families from suffering tragic loss, support local law enforcement officers as they do their job.
Stein said on average, 6 North Carolinians die per day from overdose. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
A North Carolina Senate committee voted Monday to advance a pair of constitutional amendments. Both aim to enshrine in the state constitution policies that are already law. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
North Carolina has been a right-to-work state since 1947, meaning nobody can be kept from employment on the basis of their refusal to join a union. Now, the Senate Agriculture Committee wants to put that into the Constitution. Here's Senator Ted Alexander, a Cleveland County Republican who is sponsoring the effort.
Basically, it would provide us with an insurance policy that in the future, that this will be enshrined into our law.
Another amendment the committee approved Monday says only the General Assembly can pass laws or delegate regulation of farming or forestry. If both legislative chambers approve the amendments, voters would consider them this November. House and Senate leaders are also planning to pass a pair of amendments limiting taxation as part of their agreed-upon budget framework. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capitol Bureau.
Maintaining a state park is a balancing act for governments that want to welcome as many visitors as possible while also protecting the natural beauty and wildlife habitat those visitors come to see. Zachary Turner has this report.
North Carolina's running list of state park maintenance projects grew to $142 million this year. Emily Mason, an advocate with Environment NC, said more investment is needed to protect people, plants, and wildlife.
As our world shifts to be increasingly online and on devices, protecting and maintaining our public lands should be a priority.
The nonprofit is pushing states to seek out new revenue, such as bonds, lottery funds, and protected funds. Brian Strong, director of North Carolina's park system, said that $142 million doesn't cover daily facility maintenance, but rather roughly 100 larger projects the state is planning for the future. Still, operating costs have increased and revenue from fees has declined following the pandemic.
Yeah, it's going to be tight. You know, we've had to cut our seasonal staff by about 50%.
Strong said the cuts will result in some swimming area closures and less frequent park maintenance. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Blumenthal Arts honored top high school musical theater students from across the Charlotte region Sunday night at the 2026 Bloomie Awards at Belk Theater. Weddington High School won the Tier 1 Best Musical Award for Legally Blonde, the musical, while North Lincoln High School took the Tier 2 honors for Hadestown, Teen Edition. North Lincoln's Harold Garcia was named Best Actor for his role as Orpheus, and Carmel Christian's Anna Jernigan won Best Actress for her performance in Footloose. Organizers say a record 59 schools participated this year, with awards recognizing achievement in performance, design, direction, and production. Officials in Iredell County are trying to recover 10 wild Mustangs that escaped from local property. Residents have reported seeing them near Interstate 40 and Highway 70, and officials are warning drivers to be careful. The horse's owners now face charges for allegedly allowing the animals to run loose. And for Tuesday, May 19th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.